Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Mel.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm still giggling from before we press record. So now, doing pretty well. It is definitely warming up outside. That's for sure. Yeah.
We've been feeling starting here in the UK as well.
Yeah. And you're starting to see for us, the initial spring flowers are starting to fall off and now it's starting to leave, like to put the leaves in the trees, or the second round of flowers blooming are starting to come up. So you're starting to see that we're really transitioning into this very blooming state, of the world. So it's kind of fun to witness or observe it from this perspective that we've been purposefully putting ourselves in lately.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I seem to be noticing things in a very different way than before, because I thought, did we always have those blossom trees at the back? And I'm certainly seeing things in a different way. So, and continuing on with our tarot series, we're going to move on to the next card, which is the Devil, I believe.
It's the Devil. So the Devil is the 15th card in our journey through the major arcana as the Fool. So in this card, we are introduced to material items, or materialism, if you will. This card represents being seduced by the material world and physical pleasures. So a question I ask myself whenever the Devil card or the presence, I do receive a lot of information my way. And for me, the Devil always presents when I need to keep my eyes open. And so when the Devil appears to me in any form, it's, am I doing what I'm doing based in survival mode or in thrive mode, is typically the question I ask myself. Our keywords are going to be oppression, addiction, obsession, or if we get the tarot, the Devil in reverse in tarot, it's independence, revelation, or reclaiming power. Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at the Devil card, it shows the Baphomet, I think is the name of the representation that they're using. And it's got the Lovers from the Lovers card, but this time they're chained in, they're chained head to toe and around their neck. But if, upon closer inspection, you begin to realize that these are easily removed chains. They're fitting loosely. This is by choice, that they're remaining in this experience by choice. So is your desire for power and control outweighing your desire for freedom? So whenever you have this choice point, you're starting to really think about, and it could be you're buying things just to fill voids. You can have addiction patterns that help you numb the voids or avoid the voids entirely. Or this could be something like the dictator of person that comes in leadership qualities, but takes advantage of that. And we've all been guilty of this in some form or another, on an unconscious level, all the way up to consciousness level, that maybe we are taking power and control to an all-consuming need and not in something that we work effortlessly in. And the element for the Devil is going to be earth. So we're working with energies of earth, which makes sense because we're talking materialism. We're talking about what we can tangibly see, feel, touch. The ruling planet is Saturn. Now, for Saturn, I always call Sky Daddy. And it's like this running joke for me, because Saturn is like the strict father. He's very loving father, but he's very strict. He wants you to follow your lesson plan so that you can learn your lesson. And if you're not following your lesson plan, things can go awry. Things can not look like they're meant to look. The good intentions that you said in the beginning get lost along the way. And all of a sudden you're in this chaotic mess of a world that you helped create, because you're responsible for the way that you lead and the controls that you have in your experience. With this card, it's duality, which is the Lovers that you see that are chained. It's showing the masculine and the feminine. What energy are you balancing inside of, and what could you balance more into? And then the Zodiac is Capricorn, which is perfect because Capricorn representing the Devil. If you know anything about the sign of Capricorn, they're very power driven. And our cards usually reflect what our inner our inner balance must be. And so with a Capricorn, you have to learn that power isn't the end all be all. It's about finding your power or your freedom within the set of circumstances that you're being given. And so when the devil comes up for you, it's really time for you to take a look as to the whys that you're doing the things that you're doing again. Am I doing this because I'm in a survival mode that requires me to feel safe at all times? Or am I doing this because I'm trusting in the universe and the divine plan that's being laid out for me?
So the devil, in terms of the materialistic aspects as well of what people can get caught into, of those obsessions of getting caught into just wanting to buy things, or that sort of capitalist notion of being human as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you live in any of these capital Western society, I guess is the way I would put it, is that we buy things. And the more things that we buy, the safer we feel, the more acknowledged we feel, the more we feel in alignment to the others that might be doing financially better than us. You know, it's, what is that? The keeping up with the Joneses mentality, you know, what's my next door neighbor have? Well, I better have that too. And one up from that as well. You know, if my friends are traveling the world because they're financially successful, am I killing myself in credit card debt so that I can go travel as well? And so these are just little things, you know, that we do that kind of avoids what makes us feel like we are thriving inside of the environment we're currently in, acceptance, if you will.
So the other aspect of that is like what you said about obsessions. So people can avoid feeling the emptiness that they might feel because they haven't pursued that sort of inner world. So they can do that through obsessions of drink, drugs, or sexual expression. And everything can be a phase, or it can be something that people can get caught in. But as you say, it's a choice because the chains aren't tight.
Yeah, because the chains aren't tight. And that's the beauty of it. Now, there is positive aspects, you know, for me, like for this specific journey through this podcast, we're walking through the Rider-Waite tarot. So we're going through the expressions of that. But if you look further into the psychology of the devil card, it's almost like a freedom card. It's almost like you are free of the chains that bind you. It depends on your perspective and the way that you look at this card. I walk a very tight balanced line in the devil card because we do live in a material world. And if what I'm doing materialistically is not avoiding and not, you know, not part of avoidance or trauma fixes or any of that, then I am deserving of having a material world. I am deserving of purchasing things that bring joy to me. I have the ability to have this level of freedom because I deserve it. Right? Not because I'm trying to hide something away. So perspective really is everything when it comes to this devil card. And we are reading it straight from, like, I'm getting the most of this information directly from this and the original most popularized card to date. And so that with that, it's all about, you know, what's accessing and what are you avoiding inside of that excess? And so I was just kind of keeping in alignment with that. But as a human being, who's walked lines of excess. I had a shopping addiction. I really just purchased things that made me feel better. And when online shopping became a thing, I put us into a couple of, we are broke for a while, a few times. Oh. Yeah. So I've really worked on that. And I did realize that I've been like any other addiction. I was hiding something. It made me feel good. It was like little shots of dopamine or serotonin into the bloodstream. And I was like, oh, okay. I feel alive again for this split second. Who cares about the bill that comes later? Right. And so, you know, that was part of my whole journey. I really took a step up in it and I went the opposite direction. Something you should know about me and Mel is we really like to take things to the extremes both ways whenever we're on our journey, just so we can see what the balance truly looks like. And so I said at the beginning of one of the years, I said, that's it. I'm not spending anything but on needs, no money spent unless it's a need or, you know, like, or a gift from my spouse, because that's, you know, collective pot money. And so what I did is I spent nothing. And there was so much freedom in that. It was weird because it went from like this high need to purchase, to fill voids, to this high need to reflect on myself as to why I was making those purchases. And in the meantime, my dollars were stacking in the checking account because I wasn't spending them as soon as they walked in the door, you know?
Yeah, and I get that because I remember going through this phase of when the kids were small and I had way less money coming in, like at survive, because there's survival and there's comfortable, and then there's extremely comfortable. And when you're at survival level, you're thinking about how much you spend on your gas, your electric, your water, your car, your TV, you know, all of those elements of basics that people
have.
And it was like that when the kids were small, and we didn't do without, but you know, I might have had one pair of shoes and a bag, and the kids had one pair of trainers, and you know, and you try your best. And I remember when my income started to increase, at the same time I've started to socialize a lot more, and how quickly money could just dissolve almost, you know, over the
weekend. Disappear, it fell. And then you look at your bank statement and you're like, holy crap, I nickeled and dimed myself to nothing.
Yeah. Or even more than nothing, because at the same time, you're now given credit, and credit wasn't given so easily as, well, up until a couple of years ago, credit was given incredibly easily. So I was going out, and in a way, it was an interesting experience because, like you said, you can go from one extreme to the next. So I was extremely controlling of how I managed everything. And then I went extremely sort of carefree, and then started to experience the crunch of that, because your spending can go way out of control. And at the end of the year, I'm like, how do I owe this money? Where did all that money go? And then you look back and realize, you know, that you buy a bottle of wine when you're out and you're having dinner, you're paying, you know, in the UK, 20 quid at least. And you can have the same bottle of wine if you stay at home with your friends and do exactly the same thing. But there was something about allowing myself to have that experience from time to time.
Because
either way, overly
treat yourself. Give yourself that opportunity to treat, but just don't make it that your active lifestyle. Just like with anything else, you know, there's ebbs and tides to this, and we've got ebbs and flows, and we've got to know which one we're in, and not just spend like, you know, money doesn't exist in this world, because it does, unfortunately, sometimes. But yeah, you know, it's like, I have one of my favorite lessons I learned in my habits, and this can be any habit, right? Is it a need or is it a want? And because I teach on basic, I teach on baseline level. Is this a need or a want? Is plenty for me. But the further I get into teaching others, I've realized that it goes beyond that need or want, because sometimes that want feels like the need, right? Mm-hmm. And so then we can start subcategorizing how needy is this want, and going from there. And then from that point, all you're doing is teaching yourself how to be, and I'm just talking about spending here, but this really can go across the board for just about anything, you know? And so as I come up to these weighing these options out, I kind of started realizing that, this definitely is just a want, but why did I want it? Mm-hmm. And this feels like a need, but it's definitely a want because it's not part of my need system. So why is it that I feel so needy towards it? And when I started reflecting those questions back to myself, it was amazing how little I needed to spend to really feel satiated. And then when it came to the bigger purchases, the YOLO, you only live one time, let's go, right? Then it wasn't as hard to make those decisions because I have been disciplined in my actions of the way I'm spending. So if I want to go and purchase this $500 item, it's not like I just spent $500 last weekend on a bunch of little things. Mm-hmm. So now this $500 item is available to me in my funds because I haven't been carelessly spending.
Yeah.
And so I can still treat myself in a materialistic way, but now it comes more along the lines of, because I'm disciplined in the way I spend and not hard on myself, I can go and treat myself. You know, my husband used to, and I don't know if I brought this up in podcasts or if I've talked to you about it before, but I would ask my husband, why do you spend so freely on vacation? And he said, this is the whole point of us saving throughout the year. This is why I'm frugal in my life, is so that when we do take care of ourselves, we really get to take care of ourselves. And that was so mind-boggling to me because first of all, I didn't even know how to take care of myself. So, you know, let alone treat myself that way. So I was just buying things thinking that was a treat when it was just adding to things in my house that I now had to find a space for. All right, go ahead.
No, the whole notion of how we use our resources, whether it's finances or, you know, or other things, is a fascinating one, isn't it?
And it's so fascinating.
It is a fascinating area, and especially if you're in a partnership and one person's got a different idea of how you do spend. And I, you know, I've had a level of freedom over my own finances, but I certainly know the time that I struggle is actually Christmas and Easter, because I've never liked, I don't enjoy there being a lot of things.
Yeah.
So, you know, like often I'd go to the shops and I'd see all these really nicely packaged things and I like them because they look good, but actually I know that I get them, no one eats them. And I'm like, why are we buying this? And so that's also about being able to look at what are the things that we do automatically that we've no even real concept of, why are we drawn towards that? Do we want it anyway? And if we get it, we're going to waste it. And I don't like waste. And of course, more people are becoming aware now, aren't they, of how wasteful we are with our resources.
Yeah.
And I remember just this one aspect of my son at one stage was buying clothes off people that were designer clothes they hadn't worn, and he was reselling them. And he went to a house once and he brought a lot of really beautiful stuff back. But within that package, there were three jumpers exactly the same. They didn't even realize they'd already bought that jumper the first time. And they bought the same jumper three times.
Isn't that wild? Because you get so obsessed with the idea of owning something that you forget you might already have that, or an option of that.
Yeah. So not even reviewing what you've got.
Right. And it really does come down to that. I remember going through, I went through this whole rave part of my journey, was going to raves, going to festivals, and I still do. It's just not the same anymore. And I would look in my closet. I'd be like, oh, I need to buy something, you know, we've got a rave coming up, and you spend $100 plus on an outfit. I mean, it's probably a lot more on the plus side. And then you get back and you're like looking through your drawers to find an accessory, and there's an outfit that would have been exactly perfect for the thing that you're trying to do. And now you have, and when I really got upset with myself going through some clothes, it's been in the last year. And I went through clothes, and the amount of tags I found on my clothes I had never worn. And these clothes are years ago, you know, because I started this journey a while ago, and these clothes are years ago. And I'm like, there's still tags on these. Do you know how disappointing that is? You know, that, well, first off, that I couldn't properly love an item that I purchased, but also because the reality is I never needed that item. It just was another dollar spent to feed this insatiable hunger that resides within us and in the collective. And it was just an eye-opening experience to have that number of tags on clothing and why did I purchase them? Yeah, it's kind of crazy. That's
telling, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. And I'm so thankful not to be in that space anymore. But I will tell you that the devil also can come to you when you're chasing a dream that doesn't belong to you. It can come to, the devil card can come when it's really time for you to recognize, are you chasing a material dream or are you chasing a freedom dream? What's driving you behind that dream? What's driving you to pursue the goals that you're pursuing? I will say that I have been making some massive changes in the way I want my career to look. And this has been very recent, as we've spoke before in the other cards, the energies typically align when we're going through these. And although I wrote this card out a little over a week ago, that's still very recent, right? And so what happened was I realized that I'd been chasing a dream that wasn't mine, that the whole purpose behind this dream had something to do with material success and had nothing to do with the freedom and the journey that I'm personally on. Mm-hmm. And to recognize that was, I mean, obviously it was hard. It was kind of like a tower moment, which is the next card in the deck, but it was like, whoa moment. Like, I'm chasing a material life that's going to require the type of effort, energy, and time that I'm not willing to put in. Mm-hmm. And to acknowledge that is so important. So are you living for self? Or are you living for another self? Are you living in survival? Or are you living in thrive? Are you trying to create a an experience based off of your trauma, or are you trying to experience have experience based off of your healing and growth? And, you know, so the devil card really comes forward in a lot of different ways, but at the end of the day, it's asking you some really tough questions that you have to be able to face. It's the big why. You know, the why am I doing what I'm doing? Because up until now, these cards have been pretty like petting the head. You're great. That's right, sweetie. You got this, right? Now it's more like, look what you're doing to yourself. Yeah. Are you ready to look in the mirror that way? We've been facing ourselves in a lot of different aspects. We've been deciding where our boundaries lie. We've been deciding how much I need to tap in, what balance looks like, what, you know, it's all in these lesson plans. We're starting to get out into the world now just a little bit, but now we had time to reflect. And now we're like, wait, why am I doing these things? Am I doing this for myself, or am I doing this for another, or for, you know, for me, it was this trauma-based experience where I was a pleaser, right? I'm a pleaser. And in this journey I'm taking, I realized that none of the things that I was doing was really for myself. It was for this person for this reason. It was for this person. It was for my guides because they're like being parents to me and I want to make them proud. It was like, I want my husband to live a certain type of lifestyle because he's done so much for us. It's, I want to be able to provide for a couple of my friends in a monetary gain in the way that they've provided to me and an emotional gain. And then the realization that that's not for me. And that's not for my freedom. That's not my journey. That's me doing things for other people. And I'm on this journey for myself. I'm still doing things for other people, but it's because I want to, it's because I can. And it just naturally flows that way. It's not a forced effort. And I really realized that by going back to, you know, way back over here to that hanged man that we talked about. And I stepped outside and I just let the perspective happen. I just sat there and allowed it to happen so that I could figure out what it was that I wanted to do. And then the answer just came so clearly. And it was the most at ease answer I've ever had. It was what followed. And we'll get into that in the next one, the Tower, that grief process that hit, that was really that took its toll on me. But the answer itself was like an entire piece of the universe lifted off my shoulders. And it was really insane. And so when the devil comes, you know, it can go as light or as deep as you need it to, but just know that the devil isn't some scary fairy tale that we've been told through the ages. The devil is really the materialism that goes on in this world and within ourselves on a daily basis. And we have to ask ourselves, what is it that we're chasing? Are we chasing a dream that doesn't belong to us through materialism? Or are we chasing a dream that does belong to us that might not look like materialism at all? So
yeah. Starts to take you to some really deep, profound questioning of the sort of whole premise of humanity, really, isn't it? It's, are we chasing power and control and esteem and status and material aspects? And then, you know, a lot of people realize if you get them, you're not happy anyway because you've gained your goal and you've realized your goalposts have changed. Or as in a lot of cases, you know, you have a family and you don't want to work 70 hours a week. You want to actually spend some time with your kids and doing things different than your forefathers did. And I think some shifts in society are starting to see that, but again, it depends on where you work, where you're located, the type of
job that you do. But family dynamics, social dynamics in the area. Yeah, that makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Because like in Oklahoma, where I live in Oklahoma, you know, we still are very country. You know, we have a lot of hardworking ranchers, hardworking farmers, cattle. Yes. And this is like sun up to sunset kind of work, right? And so there's this generalized mentality that if you don't work that hard, then you're not putting in any effort. Yeah. And that's just, you know, our ancestors didn't work that hard for us to continue to work that hard. Our ancestors worked that hard so that we could have it a little bit better. And so you have to remember that whenever you're dealing with society that's not quite understanding of that, because there is hard work that is involved, but who's saying that hard work doesn't look like the work you do to yourself for yourself, right? We're caught up in this externalizing, this material experience where you have to come up with something tangible or it doesn't count. Whereas I've spent the last 3 years hyper-focused on self and nothing else. I mean, obviously other things. I'm a mom and a wife and a friend and, you know, those kind of things, but it's been the direct focus is on self, and I have come out completely different than I went in. And that just consistently changes because I'm realizing that although I don't have to hyper-focus on myself any longer, I can put self first and everything still kind of, you know, kind of goes through. So, you know, who's to say what hard work looks like in a society that only honors hard work in a 70-hour work week or in a, you know, working in the fields or doing something along those lines. So don't base your hard work against society's standard of hard work. It's just is not a palpable way of getting through this world.
No, invented by the capitalists who make loads of money from the people who were doing the hard work, because the ones that are doing the hard work aren't really the ones often gaining from that. So that's the other.
Well, that's because I know I'm bringing my husband up a few times, but he's funny when it comes to money stuff. He's like, hey, if you work real hard, your boss can take that vacation you're wanting.
Pretty much.
So work for yourself, work hard for yourself, figure out what it is that makes you light up, figure out what it is that's keeping you here. Because again, the lovers in chains that are loose tells you that you're making this choice, that this is your choice. And even if it doesn't feel like your choice, because sometimes it doesn't, it is your choice. We wake up every morning to make a choice. And from that choice of, am I going to have a good day or a bad day, goes from that choice point forward. And then once then throughout the day, you have all of these choices, things open up to us when we're open up to them. And Mel and I have really been working on this. This has actually been one of our biggest things lately. You know, Mel and I have this tendency to kind of be in the same flow state. And although we might be working in different departments, we're still working in the same, you know, kind of overall theme. And, you know, so we've been trying really hard to figure out this, what brings you joy? What's sparking your passion? And one of the realizations that I keep coming up to for myself is if I hadn't walked that part of the journey, then I wouldn't come to this realization. And so I have to walk these parts of the journey, and it's kind of opening me and freeing me up in that part. But if the devil wasn't a part of that journey, then I would never understand that I'm not working for myself. I'm working for another person's dream. And that is so important for us to know.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and move into the questions, and they're going to sound a lot like what we've been talking about, but it's, am I using external resources to fill an inner void? Am I feeling bogged down by external forces? Is it because so-and-so, or because of this job, or because of this family member or this friend, right? Am I being delusional, or am I being self-aware? So it's okay to be delusional and be, and then become self-aware from the delusion. I'm not immune to that. I literally just had a self-awareness that I thought was, it was a delusion that I thought I was self-aware in. And now coming back and realizing, hey, I've been delusional in the thought that I wanted to take this path. Instead of being upset with myself, I was just grieving that portion of myself that I dedicated so much time and effort to. The grief had nothing to do with shame or guilt. It had to do with, I put so much of this time and space and effort into it that now it doesn't look like that. That hurts a little, and that's okay for it to hurt a little. Just be gentle with yourself when you wake up from that delusion. I mean, we're all delusional in one aspect or another. We're just waking up to what the truth is as the journey gets further in. Now, I'm going to go ahead and move into the tarot, because the reality of this card is it's the devil card. We're playing with material. What is excessive for you? What are you not playing into excess where maybe you should on occasion? It's a pretty basic card, but the only way that the devil card works is when you're ready to allow that into your space, when you allow this acknowledgement of self to come in. So there's a choice point in this, and you'll notice that throughout everything that Mel and I are talking about lately, we are really in a lot of strong choice points. If we are entering into this new experience, this new world, if you will, this age of Aquarius, then you're going to start seeing that everything that, you took with you to this new world, you're going to have to make choice points in. And so we're just in this new experience now. So you have to make choices. All right. So tarot, we have 8 cards on this one. And the only reason why is you're asking yourself a couple different questions from different perspectives. So the first question is, who do I say I am? What does my ego say? Okay. What am I rejecting of myself? What does my shadow say? What makes me comfortable? What does homeostasis feel like? What am I avoiding? What am I projecting due to the rejection of my shadow? So you're thinking, what's your projections in this world? Because regardless if you think you have them or not, you have some projections. Mm-hmm. And then what am I rejecting in life? Because it's not satiating this first one, my ego, who I say I am. Okay. What needs forgiven within self and external of self? And what would my release look like? So let that final card kind of be a hope. What would my release look like? What happens if I stop doing this exact thing that my ego tells me I need to be doing? You'd be amazed, guys. It's usually a lot better than what you're currently in, even though if it doesn't feel like that, because it's scary. And the guardian, the ego, is literally here to meant to be here to protect us in the state that we are in, not in our future self. So, but outside of that, Mel, that was that. And the devil card comes to play, you know, pay attention. The devil's not scary. The devil is known as the light bearer with purpose. Allow the devil to bear light on the shadows that you've been avoiding.
Yeah. So I think that anyone who just pulls that card out, all they really need to do initially is pay attention to what the response was the moment they saw it. Because that will usually be indicative, won't it? Because yeah. I think we both talked about different cards in the tarot that we less likely to want to see turn over in the deck. And mine's often been the tower. I think you've mentioned the tower, haven't you?
Not a fan of, even when the tower is a good tower, I'm like, I don't want the tower. I want my normal.
So then it's like, what's the resistance that's coming up? So where does that come from? So
yeah,
I think everyone can relate to the devil in some way, especially when we start talking about the materialistic world, and in particular going for jobs that, because that's what we thought we trained for, or that's what our family wanted us to do.
Yeah.
And not realizing that actually, especially now, you can do it, whereas years ago you had to stay in the same job that you didn't like until the day that you died. Well, now freedoms are different in that way. So I think that card can be meaningful in lots of ways, because there's lots of people who do take drugs, who do drink, who overspend, who practice all sorts of things that can just distract them too much and create an illusion away from themselves. And often that removes us outside of our spiritual self, and really getting back into ourselves is connecting with our spirit. And that's nothing to do with religion, is it? It's just just going back into ourselves. So yeah, I think that's plenty on the devil. Be interesting to see whether or not we got any feedback on that. And the spread is an interesting one this time. So thank you for illuminating us to understand how we can utilize that card in different ways, Danielle.
Well, thank you, Mel. And don't forget to join us on Facebook at Mel and Danielle. Please like and subscribe. And share this podcast if you would like to help us get our community to grow. Thank you.
Thank you. See you again.
Bye.